the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go?
Hello! Welcome into episode 132 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blather with Jar of Happy. What's a crack? Swap section, review section, me section, shoppy section, and the dram section's back with a Glenrothes single malt whiskey. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather, Jar of Happy. Thank you for your lovely messages after last episode, we really appreciated them. This episode is dedicated to anyone affected directly or indirectly by the horrific attack in Tunisia. I know someone who knew the couple from Cumbernauld very well, and is very obviously is devastated. It led me to think of the 6 degrees of separation theory. You know how we are supposedly 6 connections away from other persons in the globe, and that means that we are also 6 away from something atrocious. Sadly, I have less than 6 in this case. Although other awful things happened that day in France and also all over the world, but it's the one currently in focus. To think that we are all 6 connections away from wonderful people as well as truly hateful people is rather disturbing. I found a thing on Facebook. You might have seen it, where it had a picture of a room full of balloons. It said that the course leader had given lots of people a balloon, told them to blow it up and write their name in it and put it all into the same room. Then they all had to go into the room and they had 5 minutes to find their own name. Very few people did so, so he then told them to pick up a balloon and give them to the person that the name which had on the balloon, and that worked better. His point was that you don't find happiness by going looking for it, but by giving it to other people. The little things we do make a huge difference. Nobody knows really how the person they're sitting beside is actually feeling, although maybe just having a bad day by their errant puppy running away and not coming back. Hello. Or they are in fact clinically depressed and hide it very well. The small things in life help. Say holding a door open, a wee smile as we meet at the checkout, a please, a thank you is enormously wonderful, or buying the homeless person a sandwich and a hot coffee, or an ice cream as it is today. Giving the happy can give some self-confidence and belief back to the person who thought all is lost. This also finds me at the end of another school year. This Thursday lunchtime, which is today, and I'm ticking down the minutes here, school's out for summer. And Daisy is finishing primary 2 and Sandy primary 4. He's going into the primary 5, which is the big class, next year. They currently share a teacher, or they have done until today, Mrs. Howie, who hates giraffes, but is a really wonderful person and teacher. I think very highly of her. I made all the staff lemon drizzle cakes and I bought her, Mrs. Howie, some wine as the gift from the bairns for putting up with them all the year long. I took the wine in myself because I don't really like the idea of them taking it into school, even though it's a gift. And Mrs. Howie likes wine, so Mrs. Howie got wine. And she had made each child in the class a happy jar. In this, she had all the children in the class write something nice about the other children, and their jar was then full up. Then every second day for the past 3 weeks, they have been opening the happy jars, and the children read them to see what the other children have said about them. I've read this on Facebook too, where the class from years back met up at a funeral, and they all had their happy jar memories in their wallets. So maybe Mrs. Howie got the idea from this, but it's just so lovely to read out compliments. Sandy's and Daisy's were just wonderful. How often do we remember and focus on the one negative thing that someone has said? Well, this was a jar of happy. I've started a random compliment of the day campaign on my Facebook page. This is my way of spreading a wee bit of love. How often do we read that someone we admire has died? Then all the tributes come pouring out. Oh, I loved their work and oh, they were so kind and how could they be gone? Well, let's start the tributes before they go. And no, I don't really want any of you to go anytime soon, please. There's way too much craft stash to be used up first. I just want you to know that I, for one, think that you have a lovely smile, or you're an amazing designer, or you helped me as I was glum one day and you posted something funny which cheered me up, or I just think that you're a kind person and I want to tell you that. It shows us that the world doesn't have to be a horrific place all the time, and if my five connections do this, then maybe, just maybe, the sixth connection might think twice about their actions and have the courage to stand up and say no. People are people, and whatever religion or beliefs they have, someone out there thinks highly of me, and I believe in myself, and I don't believe that I should go out and do this horrific act. If you need a pee stop, here is the Sandy and Daisy giggle.
Hello
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you are enjoying yourself. A Sandy hello to new group members, Arlene from New Hampshire, whom I remember with great fondness from the main retreat. Hello Arlene. Judy Ann from Glenview, Illinois, and Red Raider, who's Christy from Colorado. Random hellos are to Jamie and Steve. And Steve has just had an operation, so I hope you recover very quickly from that, Steve. And you continue to be in my thoughts and prayers, both of you. Bobby, how are you doing? And J.M. Allen, Suna, Catty Kitty G, Marianne Voigt, who's the lovely Missy. And I could keep her in my pocket for days of rain. And she would be with Illprint Panda Amanda, who seems to have escaped again. She's away to the park.
What's a crack,
Citrin? What's a crack? Many congratulations to the lovely Paula from the Knitting Pipeline fan who has become a grandmother in the past fortnight. The photographs have been really lovely, and how nice it is to have some good baby news. And I think that your wee granddaughter will be one of the best dressed little babies in town. In post this week, I got Keepsake Quilting. America's favourite quilt shop has arrived in the UK. Visit us today at www.keepsakequilting.co.uk. And this is where you can buy, it's mainly just a sort of shopping magazine for quilting. If anybody out there has ever got the Reader's Digest Sew Quilt Create, I think that's what it's called, magazines, and it's got books in it and lots of things for our hobbies, which I subscribed a long time ago to when I started doing cross stitch. This is now the quilting version of it, and it's like there's 32 pages worth of quilting stuff. You have traditional, modern, pretty and vintage sort of styles as quilts to suit every taste, and what they do is you can have the whole quilt kit for this one I'm looking at, there's three here. There's one at £90, £175 and £100. And in these you get pretty much, so basically you get the top of the quilt and the binding amount of material for it, and see if there's templates for like a triangle or a hexagon. But it doesn't include the wadding or the backing material, which I would have thought that they would, because, gee whiz, they're not cheap. But then they've also got the fat quarters for, like, a pack of fat quarters that you could make the quilt, say if you want to make another one or something, or you didn't want to spend £73 for that. But they've got Amy Butler, Tanya Whelan, Dewberry. Some of these names will be familiar to you quilty people. Tilda, there's some lovely Tilda stuff. And the one I quite grabs my eye is the Modern Solids, and they've made a Sparkling Diamonds quilt kit. Ooh, there's a lot of cotton in that. That's just squares and the odd triangle put together. And then there's your more traditional Honour Roll Flying Geese quilt. And then you've got, who makes these? That's the Heritage ones. And then you've got your items that you get organised, and your lights. So there's wee plastic tubs for your threads and your bits and pieces, your notions, and then all the different types of lights so you can see what you're stitching on. And then the thing I like that mum, well, actually a few of the quilters have got something like this, is a tote express. Take your craft room with you. And it is a trolley, kind of like a suitcase on wheels. And it's compartmentalised for your machine at the bottom, put your sewing machine in. And then it's got a case at the top that you can put your plastic case in. Think where you put your sewing threads into, or your the tool box. So something like that. And it's got all compartmentalised in that you can put all your bits and pieces in. And then there's fits for your paint and your scissors and then your books and patterns and stuff. And your material, obviously. And it's wheeled. It's got wheels at the bottom and a handle, so you just kind of drag it along like you're going on the train. Imagine if you were going on the train, this would be fantastic. It's okay for going into quilters for what I need it for, but I have a case for mine, and it's quite a sturdy case. It's not a hard case, it's a good enough case for mine. So then they've got the rulers, the templates, the quilting essential, like pins, tape. Then they've got a wash-away quilter's tape. If anybody's used that, I'd be interested to know about that. That sounds quite interesting. And then there's wadding, and then there's threads. And I note that the gutterment is all 100% polyester. Now, I've always been told that you quilt using cotton, 100% cotton thread. So to know that gutterment is 100% polyester being sold in a quilting magazine, I'm a little bit surprised, I think. So if you're a quilter and you let me know what your thoughts on that, that'd be quite good. The reason that they say that, because you're using cotton, this is the reason I was told and remembered, because you're using cotton material and you use cotton thread, it will not wear differently. Say it won't shrink, or it won't, if you're ironing it, it won't melt, or if you're needing to dye it, it will dye properly if it's cotton. So I just thought that was a bit interesting. And then there's sewing machines, and they've got their top five, and then they've got a whole pile of books. And then they've got fabulous fat quarter bundles, including Amy Butler, Anna Maria, and Tula. So, quite a nice little magazine if you are into quilting. I'm going to have to hide it, otherwise I'll just go mad, because I need to use up some of the stuff I've already got, I think. Yes, carry on doing that. So that is the Keepsake Quilting. You can go, and you don't have to be a member or anything. It's just www.keepsakequilting.co.uk. And no, I'm not affiliated, it's just because I keep repeating it like I am.
The swap section.
Swap. We still have the swap going for the Terry Pratchett theme. And the 30th was the midway check-in. Crafty Womble reminded me I hadn't asked them to check in, sorry. I sent out the message today for this, and I would be obliged if you could send me one back at your earliest convenience, just to check to see if everybody's doing okay. 13th of July is the final quarter check-in, and we send our packages out by July the 28th. And obviously, I'll tell you what I'm working on. It's just not good, because I have been doing stuff on it. However,
the review section.
The review section. Well, I've been to the library and I got out a couple of books. There's one called Creative Textile Art by Karen Woods. There's one called The Very Easy Guide to Fair Isle Knitting by Lynn Wilderman. But I'm not going to talk about them. I quite like both of the books, actually. There's just some ideas in the textile art one that I thought that my textile artists might be interested in. It's actually using latex to make little imprints of something, and latex rubber to make that item out of, and then put it onto a piece of textile art. So say if you had seashells on the seashore. Especially when she's had a wee drinky. Hey, Sean Connery. Say if you were doing a seashore picture and you had imprinted some shells and made a wee mould, and then you got your latex rubber and you could make loads and loads of little shells, and then you sew them onto the piece of work that you're doing. And I just thought that was quite interesting. So the book I am going to review, because I'm not going to tell you about that, I'm going to tell you about this, is Recraft, how to turn secondhand stuff into beautiful things for your home, family and friends. And this is by Sarah Duchers and Sarah Marks. It is published by Francis Lincoln Publishers and it is $12.99 in UK and US is $19.95. And it's got 50 projects to jumpstart your creativity and it includes sewing, applique, knitting and decoupage. It's, how many pages is there? 128 pages. Actually, the pages I'm going to, the criticism I'm going to have about this book, there's a couple of, every so often it has a selection of things that are together and I found, and it's sort of got the pages of what they are on, but some of them are wrong because there was one that it had a map on a picture and you use an old OS map and then you frame it and I can't find where it is in the book, so I don't know if I've missed it or not, but it says page 98 and what's on page 98 is a decoupaged table and it's using either a Beano, an old Beano comic, or a sheet of music. So some of it is not my taste, I have to be honest, but I love the fact that it's using up, and this is right up Celia from Textile Artists Street, and she says she's actually seen this book before. So it's quite nice paper that it's written on. The pictures are lovely, it's quite well photographed, and it's got an interesting introduction about why they started and where they get their inspiration from, and they've got quite a few photographs. And then it's why we do the recraft. It's about using your hands and imagination to give old things a new lease of life. It's a way of recycling things you might otherwise throw away, or things other people have given away. It sort of explains that it's been around for quite a long time, you know, driven by necessity. Think about the years of rationing when thrifty sewers ran up new look inspired frock from a pair of curtains or parachute silk was hoarded for wedding dresses. But this is done in a modern twist. So you say you've got, there's a picture here with all the raw materials. There's an old vinyl record, a picture frame, a silk tie, a Beano annual, an OS map. That's Ordnance Survey. I think everybody else in the world maybe knows what they are. It's a map. I love maps. Oh, send me all your maps. Not if you're using them. And I don't want a sat nav because Bessie lives in Twin St. John's house. So they've got a shirt, like a man's shirt. Think of a man's pinstripe shirt. And here they've got different ideas to make one things out of it. They've got aprons for mum, dad and the two bairnies. There's shirt cushions. There's baby birdie mobile. There's bunting. There's cotton reel pin cushions. And there's a button picture. So they've got quite a lot of ideas from a boring old used man's shirt. Well, it doesn't have to be used. Maybe you found one in the bottom of a drawer and you think, I don't know who's going to use this, or it's the wrong size. And you've just got this wonderful amount of material. So you've got your basic sewing kit and it talks through the basic stitches and the techniques and then the projects and the way that they've got the pictures and some of the ones is sort of cartoon, quite nice cartoon type of drawn in pictures as opposed to everything being photographed. Which is okay, but you know, I quite like to have a photograph so you know exactly what I'm aiming for. So then we've got a pile of bargain basement acrylic jumpers. Some of you have just fallen over and shuddered. Right, get back up again. And they're using these for soft toys. So they've got penguins and whales and frogs. And then they've got baby stuff. But they do say that you have to only embroider the eyes rather than sew in buttons. And make sure no stuffing will escape. So there's a blanket, a sort of cuddly, which has, if you've seen them blankets with heads of bears sewn on the top of them, the baby likes to touch them and play with them and curry them. And then there's a fabric colour covered album, and it goes through, there's also later on a baby bag and play mat, And I love this because it's got the same material that my mum made my bairn's cot bumpers out of. It says that the children's curtains originally came from the Queen Elizabeth's Children's Hospital in Hackney in London. After treating children for more than 100 years, it finally closed down in 1996. The last doctors and nurses transferred to the Royal London Hospital, and these curtains ended up in a local charity shop. So I just think that's... Oh, I've recognised it. And then they've got characters wearing clothes. So there's a hedgehog and a duck, and there's mushroom, and there's a toad, and there's the rat, and the ducklings, and there's even beasties, like beetles, and I just remember it very fondly. I've still got that material upstairs, actually. I think Mum must have got it from her when she used to work in the hospital. So the ones that I have got a wee mark on that I really liked is there's an old book handbag, and this is where you use an old hardback book. And they used a Beano album from 1978. Somebody thought it was sacrilege. But you can use any old hardback book, and you need handles and some material for the sides. And you basically take the pages out, and then you put fabric to the sides of the book so that they're pleated, and then inside you put some material with a magnetic clasp and the handles as well. And I just think it's quite a cool idea, going around with your Beano annual book bag. But what I don't like about it is I can't find a photograph of a finished object, which is a shame. But the next page, there's a tweedy satchel, and it's made out of a tweed jacket. And as you know, I've made bags out of old tweed jacket. Can't have enough tweed jackets. And then I like the silk tie purse or case, where you get the silk tie and you make it into a pencil case or a glasses case. Not that I would use it, but I like the idea of the silk, because you do actually get quite a lot of fabric out of a silk tie. The next page is a button necklace, which is quite pretty, but I would never wear it. Daisy might. And then cards for all occasion, where you cut out templated in the back. They've got a good template selection at the back. About 10 pages worth of templates. There is only one that says enlarge. That's alright, because normally you have to enlarge a lot of them. I hate that, when you have to go, ooh, and enlarge 100% on a photocopier. Rawr. And then the last one I quite like is Christmas decorations. Not very exciting, but there's templates for them, and it's just kind of finishing it off for the season. So I would actually recommend this if you are into reusing things. I mean, honestly, they've got lampshades, they've got deck chairs, they've got bowls made of the vinyl record, which I think everybody in the world has seen by now. They've got hot water bottle covers, froggy teddies, tea cozy, just loads and loads of stuff. So even if you saw it in the library, go and get it out. So that's Recraft by Sarah Duhers and Sarah Marks. Cast your clout. There's a phrase in Scotland saying, dinna cast your clout until May is out, which roughly translates to, don't take any cloth or clothes off until the end of May has passed, dear, because it can be cold up until June. It was actually cold up until July. Summer has now arrived and it is hot, 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 lovely hot. Very nice, and long may it continue. My garden needs a good bit of heat to get it going really well, because I've been weeding it, and I feel like standing in outside beside the onions going, grow my pretties, grow, and painting my face green, then whizzing around on my broomstick. Because I have fun, you know. No, I don't. So now it's too hot to have a big wool project in my lap. Now, I've got a thread running on Ravelry for a dishcloth make-along. I'm saying make because it's either crochet or knit. Or you could do any other kind of dishcloth making, weaving, I suppose. So this is running from the 19th of June through to the 19th of August, which is just before the end of the school holidays. And I'll find a prize for one of you randomly picked at the end. The only stipulation is that you have to have made one dishcloth in that time and have a photo of it somewhere linked on this thread. Please use the hashtag clout, that's C-L-O-O-T, on any social media so I can live vicariously through your knitting. There was some really good blathering going on in the thread already. Mindful William was discussing the various names we give our clothes and scrub our pans with, and he said, then you also have the old Victorian name of a tidy, a cloth carried around the house by a domestic to tidy up whatever needed to be tidied up. And all of these things were knitted. He's come to like the idea of a tidy, and a tidy can be a little bigger than a dishcloth. I like the idea of a tidy too, but I would also like the wee someone else to be using it. There is also a few suggestions on what dishcloth they like doing, and Paula suggested that the waffle knit dishcloth and the petal dishcloth, and then Jill Watt suggested the ball band dishcloth and the Chinese wave dishcloth, and then finally Helen suggested the DW washcloth and the little tent and the lace zigzag. Thank you for the wonderful suggestions. I have cast on mine because I was looking at one that I've actually got in the house and sent in a previous dishcloth swap, and it had 40 stitches cast on and knitting, and I'm using peaches and cream with a size 5 needle. Please do join in the discussion on Ravelry and post your photos there for a chance of a prize, as I'm sure we can get quite a few more on there.
The beaker section.
Me section. Now, I was moaning last episode about washing the owl's jumper, and I got a bit of advice from the lovely Emma Wearmouth on Twitter, so thank you, Emma. So she lets the water drain down and push down on the items that are still in the tub first, but she doesn't tend to pick up and squeeze. So then she lays the bath towels on the floor, lays the jumper flat on top, rolls it up and stands on it. I tried this the other day using the soak, and it smelled quite nice, and I was using the bathroom sink just after I'd washed Sandy's socks, which need washing again already. He's using them, it's brilliant. Although they'll not need them this week because it's hot. It's not quite as heavy a work as I thought it would be, but I did drop everywhere afterwards. However, it's all clean now and in my wardrobe, being clean and awaiting the cold weather. Aha! Wait on, Owly Jumper, wait on. I'm wearing my small summer wardrobe now, so had your wished hootin' on in there. I've finished the Menahuni Shawlette by Emsky Knits of the With Male Videocast fame, and you can buy this on Ravelry, this pattern, and it's £3. I used the Skinny Bugger sock yarn by Sanguine Griffin alongside the light green yarn from Gaius Colours, who sadly is no longer dyeing her yarns. And I think that the Gaius Colours had silk in it because it has a lustre to it. It's a little bit splitty to work with, but it's draped beautifully. And it is on the border of this applied border of the shawlette. I really enjoyed working on the shawl because, whilst it's not a great big one, male does say it's more of a neck warmer than a keep you warm through winter shawl. I like the garter stitch. You can just sit and just knit, back, yarn over at some points, knit, back. And then the applied edging is quite interesting. So you've got a wee bit of interest or work to do there. So I recommend this pattern. It's not a big pattern. And I took it in to show my textile artist, so they were all oohing and eyeing over it, and I draped it over Joan, who actually wears a lot of dark green, and she likes the colour green, and I nearly left it on her, but I want to take photographs of it first. But I think I'm actually going to gift it to Joan because she's really nice, and actually she gave us all a whole pile of William Morris material. She'd been on her holidays to Jersey. And she very much enjoyed it, and she found a craft shop there that sold quilt stuff, and she bought us all a needle in a little case, and this little case has a magnifying glass in the cover, and also you pull out a wee bit at the side and it's got a needle threader, and there's a magnet in the inside of the case so your needle gets stuck in there, and there was a gold plated needle that was in it. So all in all, the present that just kept on giving, and we used them all, and we're all decided tickled pink with it. And then Joan says, I've got this layer cake of William Morris fabric here, everybody take some. And we all looked and went, a lyrequake's like 40, 50 pound. But she said, look, ladies, I'm 80. She just turned 80. We had a party for her. And I want to spend my money on you. So let me. You are always giving me things. So just, I'll spend it the way I want to spend it. Because if I don't go first class, my children will. I thought, well, there you go, Joan. And I said, well, as long as you are quite okay about this, because we all felt like, oh, we were all desperate to go, yes, I want that. But we were, So I am now in the possession of, I think it's 7 pieces of William Morris blue material. Oh, it's lovely. So I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. But I think I shall have enjoyment finding out. Anyway, that I thought that she suited this green shawl, but because I hadn't taken any photographs of it yet for my Ravelry page, I was wanting to take it. I took it home, and next time I see her, I will drape it round her shoulders and leave it there. And then we'll have the big fight about, oh no, then I'll be, yes, I know, you know, one of them fights. But Mel herself inspired me to do that, because that's what she did with my mum when we were at Maine, and Mum had sort of admired her shawl, and she made a big impression on Mel, and Mel went to give her something, so she basically took off her shawl and gave it to Mum, who wears it. So it's a really nice thing to do, don't you think? So I would recommend the Menahuni Shawlette by M. Ski Knits. And thank you again to both of you, Mel and Stacey, who's Yarn Salad, for the yarn and the pattern. Obviously I've still got secret stuff scratching my head here. I've been plugging away on it, and it's grown quite a bit, but it's not grown enough. And yes, moving on. I cut out a tartan bag for my friend Karen. Swedish Karen is moving back to Sweden next week on the 9th, and I will miss her dreadfully. And I want to give her something Scottish, so I've cut out some tartan and some velvet for her to make a slouch bag, like my handbag. It's a wonderful pattern, and she deserves some tartan to take with her. Also, I haven't actually sewn it together, so that's what we've got to do today, because we're going round to see her tomorrow. So I've cut it out, but I just need to sew it. And the books I'm reading, I've just finished Terry Pratchett's Pyramids, and I listened to Alan Cumming's book, Not My Father's Child, and it was very good, I recommend it. Not a happy book, but very interesting book nonetheless. I quite like Alan Cumming. And today I'm listening to Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. Yes, I know you've all read it, but how many of you read it recently? It's just lovely. Right, some of it's nostalgic, and I actually don't remember all of it. But, yeah. So, on telly we've been watching a Channel 4 programme called No Offence, and it was a serial. So you in the UK, if you go to, hopefully, the Channel 4 downloady thing, hopefully you'll be able to get it, the whole series. It's brilliant. The main character is a police, I don't know if she's, what her position was, inspector or something. She was the head of a team of detectives and police somewhere in Manchester. And I'd say she was a really good boss. She was an excellent character, and the writing in it were absolutely fantastic. She had a couple of lines. One of them I can't say because it's got a sweary word in it, but the other one was, set phasers to empathy. And, well, the other one was, I want him, put him in my sticker book of baddie people. So I recommend watching that. It was written by the same guy that did Shameless. So, I never saw that. Paul Abbott, I think he's a wonderful writer. And also I watched and I read the Ian Banks Stonemouth, and I thought the book was better, but the dramatisation of it was really good until I got past the point of the book where, because it's not quite the same as the book, as the programme, it's very similar but not quite. The lead characters, he was quite dishy actually. Hello. But they were both played by English, and I was quite surprised because I thought both of their accents were spotless. So it was really great, good. I enjoyed that. I'm hankering to do a wee bit of spinning with the Tour de Fleece. We've been doing a bit of spindle spinning at Textile Artists. Shirley presented me with 3 balls of singles in different colours, which was really, really cool. So she was trying to decide what she was going to make. I thought her spinning was really good. So pretty much everybody has had a shot and had a wee bit of yarn that they've made something. We never quite got to dyeing it. What with one thing and another, it was quite a few people off for various weeks. So it was quite good, but I really need to get my wheel out and start spinning. So I'm not away this year in the Tour de Fleece time, because the past couple of years I have been and not been able to commit to it, so I haven't done it. And I think it's about time I got my wheel out. So I'm quite looking forward to doing a bit of spinning. Hopefully you guys are all organised and you're all signed up to teams. I don't think I'm going to, because I'm not very good at committing myself to it. I know the podcast teams, Team Sasquatch, and go Team Sasquatch, but not being a very competitive person, I'm not really doing that. And I like the idea of it, the Stash Dash as well, but I don't know, I just never seem to be able to sign up to these things, or I realise, oh right, that was last week, yeah, oops. So if you're doing it, go for it and tell me how you get on. How's that? Last episode was pretty short, so this episode's, well, it's dragging on a bit. Some of it you can tell I've made up as I've gone along, some of it I've written, and now I've got the drams. Drams, onto the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening and I will catch you next episode, because there is only shoppy section and blah 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 stuff after it. But if you're into the drinking and the crack, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Glenrothes single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. Hope you like drumming.
Hello, listeners.
Hello.
Welcome into this episode of The Drams. This episode we are drinking a... make a bit more noise.
The Glenrothes.
Which is a Slate Reserve.
Bayside Single Malt Scotch Whiskey.
Right.
By Berry Brothers and Rudd. Wine and Spirit Merchants.
Ooh. Mm. So, the box.
I'm just dragging the box over.
So you can make a bit more noise.
Hold on, let me drag over. There we go.
Yeah, okay. Right, this is a rectangular squat box and it has a big cutout in the middle so you can see right through the box.
Hello!
I can see you through the other side. And it's the Glenrothes. And you can see your bottle of whiskey. It's brown cardboard and it's got black writing. And either side that is not see-through.
Oh no, it's different. Right, well, you read that side and I'll read this side.
Not at the same time. It's got some information and, it's got a by appointment to the Queen. They must drink this at the palace. And it's established 1879, limited release, Speyside Single Malt Scotch Whisky. Founded in 1698, it's old, at number 3 St James's Street in London, Berry Brothers and Rudd is probably the world's oldest wine and spirit merchant. As proprietors of the Glenrothes, its Berry Brothers and Rudd values of quality and integrity which determine the philosophy behind this well-bred Speyside single malt whiskey. Like wine, matures at its own pace. Our long history has provided us with the understanding and patience to ensure that we only offer expressions of the Glenrothes to our discerning customers at the moment when our experts deem them to be perfectly mature and ready to be savoured. And this is by Simon Berry, who's the chairman.
Well, I've got something by Ronnie Cox, the Glenrothes brand ambassador.
Could you enlighten me?
Yes, I shall. Our philosophy is to bottle the Glenrothes at its peak of maturity and maximum flavour, rather than at predetermined age. Distillation is unusually slow and takes place in unusually tall stills, which deliver a sweet, clear, fruity spirit. Maturation is in...
Maturation. Say that funny.
Maturation is in American oak and Spanish oak casks, a combination designed to deliver a perfect balance of flavours associated with our award-winning Speyside single malt. That gives you a little bit about the flavour. I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Okay.
All right, okay.
You can tell me, see if we get close. Mm-hmm. This approach applies equally to our limited edition vintages, each with its individual personality, and to our reserves, marriages of mature Glenrothes from multiple vintages.
I thought I would have said a bit more about the distillery and where it was from.
Well, you never know what's in the bottle. Will we open?
Yes, I said we should.
Enjoying the Glenrothes is not a solitary pleasure, and it will always be better appreciated when shared with like-minded friends.
I would agree with that, listeners.
Hold on, we've got more on our side. Oh, this is like unwrapping presents. But Berry Brothers and Rudd first supplied the British royal family during George III's reign and has continued to do so to the present day. And as of today, the 20th of June 2015, Berry Brothers and Rudd are supplying the Hunt family.
We haven't got a crest for them to stamp on their side yet, though.
Richard the Fourth.
Oh, we could have Caithness Graph Collective logo on their ball.
Oh, there's a few little secret compartments in here now.
Ooh.
There's nothing in them, though.
Oh, that's
right.
Oh,
that's a funky bottle.
It's like a perfect bottle.
And it's made from recycled cardboard, too.
Yeah, well, that's good environmental.
Okay, the bottle.
The bottle. It's like a perfume bottle. It's round.
Hmm. If you turned it upside down and shook it, it'd be like a maracas.
It would, actually.
It's a lot lighter in colour as well. That's an awesome bottle. That's really, I've never seen anything like that before. Hmm. Fantastic. In the back here, we've got blah, blah, blah. Enjoy responsibly.
Oh. I'm aiming for the bottle.
70 cl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now in the colour in the bottle. What would you say that was?
I don't know.
A bit dark. He's been working on the machines.
That's quite light for.
Do you think?
Chewbacca.
Well, I'm seeing that. Maybe it's because I'm looking through it.
Hold it against the wall. That's where I'm looking.
Very light there. Very light.
Well, that's like pee.
Do we have pee in our
inventory
of colour?
We don't.
It's like tea.
You need to drink some water if your pee that is that colour. That's a Barbie Virgin and Winnie the Pooh.
What would happen if you mated Barbie with Winnie the Pooh? What kind of hybrid fiend would you get?
You would get a bear that likes to go shopping.
Or a girl likes honey.
Okay, so on the bridge of the bottle... It says the Glenrothes Distillery embossed in glass embossing. It's got quite a short little label.
It's nice, I like that.
It seems to be... Well, it's got character.
And it tells you about the notes.
The notes. Ripe fruit, citrus, vanilla,
it's
hints
of spice. Not supposed to read it.
I've forgotten it by the time we got to drink it. And it's distilled, matured and bottled in Scotland, done near Glenrothes. Should we have actually done a bit of research about this?
We could do, yeah, but I haven't.
Okay, so the cork. Is there anything interesting on the back? No,
no, just usual kind of sensible grown-up stuff.
Boring stuff.
Adult stuff.
Drink responsibly, people.
This has not been opened either. I've never had this before.
Oh, that's quite nice how it's just coming off properly.
Oh, that's a wooden one as well.
Ooh, a wooden top to the cork. Right. Cork.
Oh, it's tight. My word, that's tight.
Nice egg to the cork. Right, have a nice sniff. We've lost to McKean listeners. He's off in the world of whiskey smell.
I can't actually smell much.
I can't smell too much. What are you doing?
I'm putting a cork on again to see if it squeaks this time. There we go. Right. So.
Now, would you like to pour a dram?
I shall.
I wonder how it pours.
Well, just a little one for you, because you've got a big run tomorrow. That's only a little bit coming out. It makes a very good cluggy. Cluggy sound. I just licked a little dribble off my finger. And it's...
Well, hurry up then.
It's not a very good pourer.
I didn't think it was going to be.
But we'll let it off because it's such a cool ball. Cork's back in.
Yeah, but how much can you let it off when, even though it's aesthetically pleasing, It might not be practically pleasing. And you're wasting expensive whiskey.
It wasn't wasted.
It was £30 from Tesco's on special.
But that dribbles that came out there and the poor pouring wasn't wasted.
Okay. Right. Would you like to... the colour in the glass?
Not any lighter. I thought
no,
lighter.
I took it the same.
The same. So you reckon it's a kind of mutant Winnie
mutant
the Pooh
Winnie
Barbie.
Pooh Barbie, yeah.
Okay.
It's very what
very
you'd expect whiskey to look
colour.
Like. Yeah. Oh, it's quite sharp.
I thought it was kind of like a quitter.
I'd say citrus. Whiskey.
I was going to say acetone.
Yes, like pear drops.
Hmm.
Pear's not citrus, is it?
Not citrus, no. Dying so.
Like, I suppose
if
I
not, it's kind of on the lower.
On the lower sort of scale of it.
Right, fruits, juicy citrus, creamy vanilla, and complex spices.
Yeah, I'm getting.
Why didn't you get simple spices? It's always got to be complex
because
spices.
Because Simple Simon took the pieman to the. Simple Simon to the pieman, have you got any wares? Said Simple Simon to the pieman, something, something, penny. No, I have not any.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember that one.
And the point of this is?
You asked for simple spices.
No, I'm just saying why is there never any simple spices? It's always complex spices.
Because it sounds more interesting.
Mm. Well, right.
Right, and we have to see if it...
Rolls around. I can't remember. People tell me why you roll it round and watch it dribble back down.
You roll it round because it releases a bit of smell.
Yeah.
And then you let it come down. Because remember Melanie
told us
that if it comes down with thin legs, it means it's been watered down when you're
It's coming down with thin legs.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
And if it comes down with thick legs, it hasn't. Now, I know this has just been opened and there's no...
I love your legs.
Are you saying my legs are not thin?
No, I didn't see anything.
Excuse me, listeners, we have a domestic here about my legs.
Your legs are just fantastic, sturdy
wee
legs.
Pour me some whiskey here and I heard that sturdy wee legs. Just pour the whiskey. Pour the water even.
Or you want to pour some whiskey into the water?
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
You put me clean wrong, a bit more. Thank you.
Oh, a nice wee chink. Oh, that's all cloudy I never had.
Okay.
There we go. I'll have a fair bit of water in mind tonight because I've got to save myself for tomorrow too.
Mm-hmm. Slajva.
Have you drank some already?
No. But it tastes nice.
You don't think you've been supping in that already? You're sober as a judge.
I don't need to have drink to have a good time. Or sound like I'm up at it. Right. It's not as sharp as I thought it was going to be. It's burny a little bit on the tongue at the end. Tastes obviously like whiskey, listeners, because you'll be disappointed if I don't actually ever say that.
Getting the citrus.
Yes. There is a vanilla one, and I can tell it's a sherry cask, because it's smooth. You think that's smooth?
Getting the vanilla.
By smooth?
I don't think it's smooth, no.
Do you know?
No, not in the aftertaste. Just when you first swallow it, it's quite smooth, and then it's quite a strong, sharp after.
Oh, right, okay.
I find, but you might have something.
Listeners, just don't listen to me. I know nothing about whiskey other than it tastes of whiskey. You know that fine well. New listeners, it's whiskey. Richard knows a bit more tasting than I do.
Getting quite creamy as well.
How can you get creamy out of whiskey?
Oh, I'm getting a creamy kind of...
Right, Glenrothes. I don't know whether this was distilled anywhere near Glenrothes. I think they've just given it the name.
Yeah.
But, I have to admit...
We'll need to ask Wikipedia.
Well, we should, but we haven't. And do you want to stop it and look it up?
Yeah, I'm going to stop it and I'll go and get the ISAD.
Well, listeners, we've just done a little bit of research and I wish we'd done that before we'd started.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Glenrothes is actually from Speyside.
Beside the... Burn of Rothes.
Yes, not as in where I thought it was, Glenrothes and Fife.
No.
I honestly, until this moment, thought that the Glenrothes whiskey was from Fife.
Sorry, any distilleries in Fife?
Aberlour?
Yeah. No, I'm just curious.
So, we looked up really nice website.
Very informative.
Yes, and it looks like a nice place to be, nestled away in the Speyside.
I think we've been through it.
Do we?
On our way from Aviemore to go and pick up, to Elgin to pick up Buchel.
Yes, I believe we did.
Mm-hmm.
We would have gone past it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, little Buchel who's been good just now because he's asleep.
Yeah. When he's good, he's asleep.
Very, very good.
And when he's bad,
he's not.
Very bad. Right. So, and there's a ghost. Well, there was a ghost, but some university professor went and spoke to him, and he hasn't come back. But they have a thing called toasting the ghost.
So they offer up a toast to this ghost,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice thing to do.
Very nice.
Yes. And it's a lovely part of the world, in that Speyside area. Very picturesque, you. Nice looking distillery. And recommend it if you are a whiskey.
Yeah, it's a bonny part of the world,
yeah. Not that I would have said anything different about Glenrothes and Fife, because there's some really pretty parts of the Nook of Fife, which is a little bit further in the coast.
Mm-hmm.
But worth going to. Creel.
Mm-hmm.
And
I looked at a boat in Creel.
Mm-hmm. This is irrelevant. But this is what I was going to say.
But I didn't buy it.
No. And so who are you going to invite for your Dramas episode?
Well, I was thinking, and I'll just stick with having my Aunt Edith and Uncle Howard round. Because Uncle Howard died a couple of years ago. My Aunt Edith died last week. Mm-hmm. So that's who I'm having.
Yeah.
Just to have a yarn with them.
Yeah, she was about the only person that I knew that could run rings round you. And you took it. He's going to have to say to that because it was true. She was sharp as a tack, was Edith. Yeah, here's Edith.
Yeah, it's nice of that. Mm-hmm. Who are you having?
Well, mine's a bit stupid now because I thought it was Fife. I was going to have my Fife friend.
What, biscuits?
Biscuits and the tourist.
I'm the tourist, I haven't come to tourist.
Wait, Elaine McConnell was my friend who we called Biscuits because she did the same job as me at Scottish Water, and when we were booking a meeting for the engineers, she went, turned around and said, "Are you having biscuits in that meeting?" And they just went, "Oh, Biscuits." So she got called Biscuit from then on. We all had our names.
What was your name?
Ratbag,
I remember that, aye.
Yes, listeners. And the Graham Drummond was the tourist because we kind of hot desked, and he had a desk, but he was never there because he was always out on site, so we called him the tourist. And he was the one who used to talk about cow tipping.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have them do round because they would have good crack, and we'd talk about the stupid things that we got up to.
Sounds
so fun. More to say about this whiskey?
Well, would you have it again?
No.
No. I'm struggling to kind of. It's not a standout whiskey.
No.
It's nice. I'm not liking it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nicer.
Yes. If you were in a bar and you've not had one before, it would be nice to have one.
Definitely try it.
And if you were given a bottle of it, then definitely try it.
Here, you got to try it once.
You do. But if you're standing in Tesco's and it's not on special and there's Opalney or Talisker better price, buy them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. But I've been waiting on it coming down in price in Tesco's for a long time. So when I saw it, I thought, I'm going to have me that.
Mm.
And I know what to say because it's Fife. No, it's not.
It's not Fife, no.
Nope. It's far from Fife.
No, it probably,
which is shows you less.
It probably drove through Fife.
On its way south.
Yeah.
More than likely. This listener shows you why I should do a bit of research before I start speaking.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's all part of the charm.
Yeah. So what are we doing tomorrow, Richard?
I'm cycling to Lochmore, which is 30 miles away. Then I'm going to run round the circuit there.
You're going to do the 14 miles?
If I'm up for it, aye.
Mm.
And then swimming round Lochmore. So it's kind of like a triathlon in reverse. It's not a competition, it's just people getting together and having a bit of crack.
Because the trail season isn't on just now. There's no organised runs up here just now. So this is...
There's a few, but they're not trail runs.
No. Well, this is a trail run tomorrow.
This is a trail run. Yeah.
But it's a sort of unofficially not marshalled and not timed.
No.
But it's nice to run with people, I think.
Yeah.
Sort of around you, and then you can discuss it afterwards.
Well, it's always better to do things for other people. Right.
Okay.
So, anything else?
Just look up and do some research and go and visit both of Glen offices and see what you think.
Right, thank you for that.
Sounds about. Yeah, so I didn't know that Glenrothes wasn't the Glenrothes in Fife. I thought it was. Yeah. That's quite a nice whisky. We were actually going to talk about the North Coast 500, which is, they're trying to make it like Route 66. And it is the route of the top of the north of Scotland. And it's 500 miles. So you start Inverness and you can either go up to John O'Groats and along the top to Durness and then down to past Ullapool. I think you go a bit further down. I can't actually remember where you come back. And then you go back to Inverness, and or you can do it the other way around. And it's just to sort of encourage tourists to come in and make it this, because of the scenery in some of the places is spectacular. I mean, I think Caithness is beautiful in its own way. But the west coast up at Durness, and you come around the bend, and there's Applecross further down. Just breathtaking. So we were going to talk about that because there was a supplement in the paper. And there are quite a lot of people that have gone, oh yeah, we could do that, that would be good. And you can do it in chunks. But if you kind of like fancy a driving holiday over in Scotland, give it an idea and look up North Coast 500. I'll find the link and put it in the show notes for you.
Shoppy section.
I've got quite a few bags and I've only got one of my Caithness Craft tote bags left. So it's the last one. If anybody wants it, you better hurry up. Very reasonable, £9. And the tartan bags, there's McLean Tartan, Gordon, Farquharson, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, Ancient Fraser and Weathered Fraser for you Outlander fans. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then do please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on and on and on. My email is caithnesscraft@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Caithness Craft. And you can access the Flickr photos from Louise G 2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. And the photos are down the right hand side. The music was from Mark Gunn's Weathered Mountain Time. Thank you for listening and please keep on crafting and passing on the random compliments. Oh, and I like to note that I'm not doing that so I get compliment back. I'm doing that so you genuinely know that I think you're wonderful.
We'll all go together to Powell Mountain Time all around. Will you go? I say go, will you go? I say go, will you go?